And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed him. In the name of the Father, and of His Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, with the Sister's Vow ceremony this Tuesday, I couldn't help but notice the very strong allusion or comparison, you might say, between the vows that religious take, the religious vocation, and the three apostles who today in the gospel we read how they began their religious vocation. So I would like to speak about this path in life. As we all know, there are three vocations. And we say the priesthood and the religious are in one category because they give themselves entirely to God. And then there's the married life, and then there's also the single state. I can't think of any other state of life that one can live in. I'm not talking about profession, but talking about vocation. So today's gospel tells us about this amazing miracle where after a whole night of no results, Jesus says, "Put out into the deep." And they catch so many fish that they nearly are sinking two boats. They were drawing them in with nets, of course. But at the same time, after they get to land, Simon says, "Lord, would you please leave me?" Now, how strange does that sound? Jesus had just used his boat to preach from, so our Lord was already presaging the role that he was going to give to him as his vicar on earth. And he gave him so many fish that they were nearly going to sink. And then Simon says, "Would you please leave me?" Why did he say that? I believe it's because Simon Peter did not want to feel indebted to our Lord. When our Lord gave him so much, he realized he had to now make a return of love, of gift to our Lord. And he didn't want to do that. He wanted to, well, you know that feeling where you owe somebody. And once you pay them or give them something in exchange, then you no longer have that feeling of indebtedness. Your debt is paid. And I think Simon Peter, he was not Peter yet, but he was, our Lord changed his name. But our Lord was, he was beginning to sense how much he was going to owe our Lord. And at first, he didn't like that feeling. "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." But then we continue to read Jesus saying, "Do not be afraid, henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed him. What about all the fish? They literally left it there for anybody to take. What about their boats? You can have it. What about their nets, all their equipment? Whoever wants it may have it. So that's essentially what a young man or young woman does who feels the call to the priesthood or the religious life. They as human beings, they have their own plans, their own desires, their own wishes. And yet Jesus says, "Come, follow me." And so they make, yes, big sacrifices. Look at the sacrifices that Peter, James, and John made in today's gospel. But we're reminded, are we not, of that saying that the more you give, the more you receive. And yes, they gave our Lord a lot that day. They gave him their life. They gave up their material goods. They gave up their families or prospects of having their own family. And by the way, that's what the three religious vows do. The vow of poverty helps them to be detached from the things of this world because they can't say, that's mine, where I determine its use. The vow of chastity. And to be sure, marriage is a very good thing. It's even a sacrament for baptized people. St. Paul praises the state of marriage very highly. He even compares the union of husband and wife to the union of Christ and the church and how they love and serve each other. But still, the religious life is higher because one makes the entire gift of oneself to God. And then they gave up their own plans. The vow of obedience, we see that exemplified. So whether the apostles actually took these vows or not, they certainly lived them. And by the way, my dear brethren, this has application for everyone, because even if you do not live in the religious life with the three vows, you still need to live the spirit of those vows. So this is still a message for everyone. You may not have the vow of poverty, but remember our Lord said, blessed are the poor in spirit. So our Lord was urging people to not be overly attached to the things of the world, their own possessions even. That's what it means to be poor in spirit, to value more the heavenly riches than anything one could own here on earth. Our Lord also said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. So there's an exhortation there to purity. And of course, the chastity of the married state is their perfect fidelity to each other, husband and wife. But again, it's on a higher level to say, I give up the good that marriage would be, to give my whole self to God. It's like a spiritual marriage. The husband and wife give themselves to each other on their wedding day. That's a covenant. It's not just an exchange of goods and services. They're giving themselves to each other. For better, for worse, till death do us part. A religious, when he or she takes vows, says, I give my whole self to God. That's a covenant too, right there. They're holy vows. And then we also have to do the will of God. Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Don't we pray that every day in the Our Father? We don't pray for my will to be done. We pray for God's will to be done. So you see, even without the vows, we still have to live the spirit of those vows. That is the gospel. And the vows for the religious, they do help remove great obstacles to salvation even. They're not evil in themselves, material things, the lawful pleasures of married life, even having one's own plans and aspirations, those aren't evil in themselves, but they can become great distractions, great obstacles even to salvation. So you see why it is, again, that blessing to be called to the religious life, to do what the apostles did. So the Holy Mother Church will always uphold the dignity, the special calling that is the priesthood or the religious state. By the way, secular priests, they do not take the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, but all priests in the Western rites of the church, they take the vow of celibacy when they became subdeacons. That's their point of no return, you might say, where they say, for my whole life, I am pledging myself to God. So let us thank God that in this day and age, which is such an antithesis to the gospel, such an antithesis to religious life, that there are still young people who are answering the call. And what a gift they are being given by Almighty God. It is such an enormous gift. St. Alphonsus of Liguori explains this. What a gift it is to be called to the priesthood and or the religious state. It's not a guarantee of holiness. I think many religious will say, yes, I was called because I was the weakest and I would have become a really big sinner. So I thank God for his mercy. St. Peter asked our Lord one day, Lord, what will we have? We've given everything and followed thee. And Jesus says, you will sit on the thrones in heaven judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, he was saying, you are going to receive a far higher reward for having answered the call. And he says, there's even the hundredfold in this life. Not in terms of material gain, of course, or worldly goals, no. But in the things that matter the most, the more a religious lives his or her vocation, the more they experience that hundredfold. God provides for them. So I wanted to just share these thoughts with you as we see the apostles embarking on their religious vocation. Today, that we acknowledge and recognize this exceedingly great calling. How many people received this call? Of course, only God knows for sure, but I do remember reading from the writings of Father Doyle that he was quoting St. John Bosco, who personally believed that up to a third of Catholics received the call, but unfortunately many end up saying no. Now that's not church teaching, that's not something you have to necessarily accept or believe. And it is an invitation, it's a call. So technically it would not be a sin because it's an invitation, but if they end up living a different kind of life than God wanted for them, a different life than God called them to, they're going to experience great spiritual difficulties because the graces won't be there. God is has destined the graces in this vocation. So we can see it's not something to be taken lightly. And who would want to say no to our Lord anyway? You know, God's plan for our lives is better than anything we could come up with in a million years. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, doesn't God know far more than any of us know? So if he calls us to a vocation, we need to trust him, trust his decision. You know, I was thinking of St. Peter. What if he had said no to our Lord? We would have probably never have heard of him, of this Simon. There was probably thousands upon thousands of Simons through the history of the chosen people. We have never heard of him and how imperiled his salvation and life would have been. But fortunately, he did say yes. And look at what he became. He became the vicar of Christ on earth, the first pope. And yes, the ring that the pope wears is called the fisherman's ring, because the pope is the ultimate fisherman. Not the fish in the sea, but the fisher of men. And hasn't everyone in heaven enjoying the reward said, I am so glad I said yes to God. And by the way, St. Peter was even married. And so that was a unique sacrifice God asked of him. But again, the rewards far exceed anything. As St. Paul says in the beginning of the epistle today, I reckon the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that will be revealed in us. So let us, each one of us has a vocation, absolutely. Our call to live our life for God, to become holy, to strive for sanctity, live your vocation wholeheartedly. And again, let us thank God for the priestly and religious vocations that we do have. And yes, pray for more to respond to the call. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.